After I have to go home and I have to start on this, so I will continue from this and end with Psalms 85. So I hope the Lord will lead us through with everything here. And since it's two topics here, I don't like to read the topic, so I rather go straight into it. We'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you that we could come once again to the place where we could always listen to what you have to say to us. Father, as we speak through this, Father, use my mouth as what you want to say. Father, let me just not only say, but put into my heart and put into practice. We thank you, we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And so this thing, since I just this afternoon I have to go and rush and brush it out on the second topic which is given to me, so I will just go through the first one, which was what Jack spoke this morning, but I'll just brief on a few things around there. I'm from Mark chapter 6 from verse 45 to 56. We've seen this, one of the greatest miracles would have never happened if it had been on plan A, what the disciple wanted them to do, send them away. But when the Lord took control of it and asked them to do what the Lord wanted to do, that is, it become a history, and ever such thing had never been happened before or after. So how often it is true with us today. In this, Mark is just telling us to see, seeing the face of God isn't just something just happens automatically when you look upon to Jesus with the physical eyes. It requires a new heart and a new set of eyes. The disciples don't understand what it meant when Jesus earlier fed the crowd of 5,000 with just 5 loaves. You can see the Savior can provide not only the servant's sustenance, but their safety as well in this portion which has been given to us. You see here, after sending the disciples back to the west shore of the lake by boat, Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. In the darkest night, he could see them rowing against a hard contrary wind. He went to their assistance, walking on the sea. At first, they were terrified, thinking it was a ghost. Then he spoke reassuringly to them and boarded the boat, and the wind ceased immediately. For me, the wind ceased immediately is something for me which came to me in my childhood. When we are studying in a class, before the teacher could come, we'll all be talking and making big noise. Once the teacher comes, everything pin drop silence. Otherwise, the person has been sent out of the door or is made to kneel down. So for me, this thing, first thing came to my mind is, once the Lord got into the boat, the wind and the waves were asked to shut up, like, you know. So it is in my Sunday school song also, there's when Jesus in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. That's the song which used to always come in my mind when I think about this topic. So first of all, you can see Jesus made his disciple go first. Perhaps this was because Jesus knew that his disciples were very tired. Long day, too much of serving, too much of doing things, and from their preaching, and they needed a rest. He planned them to give rest before, when the crowds went to the place and they were going to a retreat and it flooded. Jesus hadn't forgotten his disciple, but still had compassion on them. But Jesus left for the mountain to pray. While reading through the gospel, you often see this type of refrain. It is not an isolated occurrence, but a regular part of who Jesus is and was, what he does. As we discussed before, Jesus was a busy man. From the beginning of the sunrise to the end of sunset, or even after that, he was still busy. He was so busy that sometimes he didn't have even time to have his own meal, eat his own food. Yet, but he always had time to pray. On this note, what we should evaluate our prayer lives. Do we place the priority in that Jesus did? How is our prayer life? Or do we only pray if we have time? Are there some people say, I don't have time for prayer, I'm busy, I can pray another day. Or you are too busy, or you have some want, some sickness, or you lost a job, or you are struggling financially, or some of your loved ones are struggling with health. So many things come, only we look up to God. Is that the way we have a time for prayer? Or we are spending quality time with God? How is that we are doing? Or we are just, some people you can say when before they leave the house, for mainly I've seen Catholics, they draw a cross like this and they do something, that's their prayer, that's finished. Or are we asking God for guidance before we step out of the house? Or why you give us the strength, wisdom and knowledge and the safety for the day? Or to protect us? And what is your will in your life for me this day? Is that our prayer life? The word and prayer are the two most basic spiritual disciplines. We cannot grow, be a growing Christian without them. We should have both the Word of God and prayer. For me as an Indian, we have rice. Rice cannot go by itself. We need a curry to go over it. So same way in our spiritual life also, we not only need the Word of God, but we need a prayer for asking God's guidance to make us understand the Word of God and how to implement that into our life. That's what I always see when I say, what are you speaking to me today through this word? That is what should be our time when we spend about prayer and the Word of God. They often had a quality. You see, most famous Bible characters were men of prayer. For those who kneel down before God can stand before anyone in this world, because greater is he who you kneel down to than greater is the one in this world. So that's a thing which every day in our walk of life, we come at that day, that moment, what is our task, and we hand it over to God. Then next is not your problem. Then it's the Lord's task to do, take care of all our needs. And you see here in the evening, Jesus then noticed them straining, rowing. This would indicate that they hadn't made it very far. So Jesus was able to spot them from land. It was until the fourth watch, that will be from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., that Jesus went out for them. How long is it from evening until the fourth watch? It'll be depending on what time the sun sets. It would be probably from 6 hours to 13 hours. Jesus did not go to them immediately. Why do you think that is? While we do not know the exact reason in this case, we do know God doesn't always save us out of trials immediately. We see in Romans chapter 5, from verse 3 to 5. Romans 5, 3 to 5. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So what it says is that the Lord did not immediately come to help. Sometimes God sees fit to let us experience trial for a while in order to develop our character. Jesus saw his disciples struggling against the wind. Actually, they were already tired at this point, and this would be pushed them almost at the point of exhaustion. But for a long-term effect, he didn't step in. As a father, when my son Isaac struggles with certain things in life, I don't go immediately and help him, because if I help him, he won't know how hard it is to do. I make him do that thing, and he comes and struggles, he says, I'm not able to do it. Then I go and then help him. Then one thing I seen is, when he first bought a car, he wanted to change the oil and do things like that. He didn't know what to start, where to do. So I told him what to do. He said, no. Then he tried. I said, go see what all to do. So he went and saw on Google to see what all to do, but still he couldn't make it. Then I showed him a couple of times. So for us, for not that if I had done it, you say, ah, just change the oil. He thought like pouring glass in the water and just taking it out, he'd have thought. So how much of hard work is there behind it? I wanted him to go and see. I made him do it. So sometimes in life, when we're going through a struggle, we must know the value of that struggle. If that struggle you do not know, very people who are really successful have not come in an easy way. They have come through a lot of struggle and a lot of things, and they come to know what are the good things and the bad things, how to get that thing done in a very good, successful way. So that's the way we see sometimes things he needs to struggle with in order. Maybe he needs to learn and how to do it. By letting him struggle with it for a while, he could learn how to be humble. Sometimes when we think we know everything and try to do it, there's a saying, if you do it right the first time, others you'll find it to do it the second time. Because you're not able to do it right the first time, you'll try to learn to do it the second time. So you'll have to find time to do it again. So it's better to ask for guidance, ask first when you're trying to struggle. For the disciples, here we see here how he could learn to ask for help, not to then to rely on himself. Because for the disciples, they were able to witness once again Jesus' powerful, miraculous power. Because they had struggled already for a long time against the wind, Jesus' miracle by stopping the wind became even more amazing and highlighted his divine strength over against the human weaknesses. So sometimes we think we are strong, but there's limitations for us. For God, there's no limitations. So that in our application, what we do? Do not grow bitter with God, even if he doesn't immediately save you from a trial you are facing. Just as Jesus was nearby, ready to help the disciple when it was really best for them, God is also nearby, even in our trial, and will step in when we need him. Not necessarily when we want him, but when we really need him. So it is not being impatient or blaming God or growing impatient or angry when facing trial. We should look at ourselves and ask what questions, lessons we can learn. Maybe we need to be more dependent on God, more patient, more faithful, sometimes not stepping in and helping one is a sign not of apathy, but a discernment. Jesus walking on the water, this is not a magic trick. It wasn't achieved by illusion or a trick of cameras or a high salt content. The disciples were experienced sailors, and the sight was enough to scare them to the point where they cried out, in the modern translation might read like scream like girls. The text says that they were really terrified. It wasn't surprise or excitement, but sheer terror. At the beginning, they couldn't tell what this figure was walking on the water. It was night, so the light wouldn't be great, although there was evidently a moon. Jesus, however, didn't leave them in terror, but revealed himself to them. Take courage, it is I. He said, the first order of business was to assuage their fears, next to decide to do another miracle to help them with the trial they were facing, stopping the wind, which was against them. At the right time of God will step in, even powerfully help us. Astonishment. Why were the disciples astonished when the wind stopped? Since they had seen many of Jesus' miracles, including feeding of the 5,000 that same day. You wouldn't think they would be surprised. They wouldn't be surprised anymore, but they were. The text says their heart was hardened. It wasn't easy for them to change their perspective or their worldview. Instead, they often quickly forgot what they had just learned. It would be easy to sit in a living room while having a Bible study and blame them for a short-term memories. Should we blame them or not? Probably it would be unwise to blame them since we do the same thing. I used to remember my dad, for many years, he always, in the evening, did you lock the door, did you turn off the light? He'd not ask me one day, every day in the night he used to ask me, he didn't want to waste money on power. Did you off the light, did you close the door, did you latch the doors? He asked me every day, but every day I still used to forget. And another one of the things is, every day I go to school, I forget to do my homework. And the first thing that the class teacher asked me is, did you do your homework? I said, no, I forgot. The first thing she said, did you forget to have your breakfast? So even though sometimes I had to kneel down on the floor, sometimes I was standing outside the class just because I did not do my homework. But again, the next day I used to forget. So things, we cannot blame the disciples like how they are, because they are also mere human beings and they are also have a limitation to many things. But what is the main thing which we have to, even if we remember the words, we often don't know. In reality, in this area, we are not any different than the disciples were. How can we have victory to keep practicing what we learned and how we can overcome the short-term memories? We see here, the account closes, they were greatly amazed among themselves beyond measure. What was the basic thing was their heart was hardened. Why the heart was hardened? Because they were not able to understand who this person was and what this capacity was. We see here in Mark chapter 8, verse 17, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive or not understand? Is your heart still hardened? So, even though the Lord was often reminding them that their heart was hardened, even though they are seeing every day new miracles, of what the Lord was doing and is doing around their house. We can see also in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and restored as the whole as the other. You see here, all things the Lord wanted to do was, their heart was hardened. So how the Lord was very much not really happy that because their heart was hardened. But we see here in Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So the Lord is really not really happy with his disciples and people whom he's always in contact with, that their hearts were not tuned with what the Lord really wanted them. The thought seems to be that even after seeing the power of the Lord in miracles of loaves, they still didn't realize that nothing was impossible for the Lord. They should not have been surprised seeing him walking on the water. It is no greater miracle than one they had just witnessed. The lack of faith produces the hardness of heart and the dullness of spiritual perception. We see in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed that from that very hour. See the faith what she had in that Lord, that lady, she said, and immediately at the same very hour, her daughter was being healed. So faith really counts something, what you believe, what you're not able to see. And purely putting your trust in whom? Everything is possible by the person who's nothing which is impossible by him. The church has seen in this miracle a present age, picture of the present age, and it's close. Jesus on the mountain represents Christ in the present ministry in heaven, interceding for his people. The disciple represents his servants buffeted by storms of trials of life. Soon the Savior will return to his own, deliver them from the danger, distress, and guide them safe to the heavenly shore. That is what our faith and hope is. In this world, a lot of trials and tribulation, a lot of things will be there. When we stand for the Lord, there are many people who will just talk against us. They don't want a reason. Just because of our faith, you can see an example was in a place, in a state in Manipur. Hundreds and hundreds of churches have been burnt out in a couple of days. And the people who are tribal people, the most of the people are tribal people, where missionaries went over there and they got saved. And the education is much more advanced than the normal people. The tribals are basically ones who never get education, but their education and their level of English standard, everything is so high that anywhere they apply for a job, they are being easily able to get because of their language skill and their technical skills. But when this all happened, there were women stripped naked and walked, made them walk up the streets for several kilometers, humiliating them. And a lot of people were killed, slaughtered, churches burned, houses burned. But one of the testimony of one of a believer over there, he said, "If I was a tribal, for every person over here, we will slaughter 10 to 15 people. We know the skills to fight warfare. But the Lord has placed us to show as a testimony over here, to witness what happens to us, to be an example and show a testimony that we are standing for the Lord, not for ourselves." So that's a very powerful word which came from a person who lost everything. He lost his family, lost his loved one, lost his family members, church members. And to say such a word is not that I cannot react. I can react easily. But I have accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. This is a testing ground for me to stand and to witness and not react. So that's the thing, how it should be in our personal day-to-day walk of life. And you can see here back on the west side, a lot of sick people came and everybody wanted to just touch the hem of the Lord's garment to be healed. So those who just believed and touched the hem of a garment, like the woman who had an issue of 12 years, blood issues, she only had a trust, "I just only need to touch the hem of it. I don't need to ask anybody, but only touch the hem of a garment, I will be made whole." That is the faith, and that made her whole. So in application, what we have to see here in this is, in the passage, we remind yet again that many who saw Jesus never truly believed. The disciples were slow to believe, yet they should be thankful of the patience and the compassion of Jesus, and he continued to reveal himself to them and time again. So how we do apply it to ourselves? Do not get upset if you feel people are taking advantage of you. Instead, have compassion for their lost souls. So many times when you're a person who are not selfish, you know, you want to, someone make use of you, they always think, "Oh, you tell him he'll do it," because he won't say no to you. But never think in a negative way. You have compassion for their souls. When you see the need, feel it, even if you are tired. Sometimes when you feel tired of doing it to the same person, same people come and ask you many things. You feel tired, but the Word of God says, never feel tired. You keep doing. That's what the Lord will want you to do. Make sure you show proper appreciation, consideration when asking favors from others. So that is how we should be. When Jesus knows our needs, He can abundantly supply our needs. We have a responsibility to obey Him, even when we don't know why, and trust Him as He has a good reason for them. Always the Lord has a reason, and we cannot ask God why. Because when we see things immediately from our point of view, why is this happening? It might be a big blocking thing for you, for things not happening. But the Lord has a better purpose and plans for you in your life. So that is how we should be committed to the Lord in prayer. Why? When you're committed, then the Lord is taking care of your needs. You don't need to worry. For this, from now I go on to the Psalms 85, how that will be, we commit that. In Psalm 85, verse 8, I will listen to the Lord. God, the Lord says, He promises His peace to His people, His faithful servants. But let not them not turn to folly. So when we not only listen to God, we should also be careful with what in our lives, not to go back into a folly. In that, what we see here, peace is something that most people want all over the world. They are searching for peace, for ways to have peace. Yet, as they search for peace, it never seems to be found. They go looking for it. But for some short periods of time, sometimes people have a little peace. But it does not last for long. Some will find peace in getting away from everyone and everything. Others find peace when there's no direct battles going on and everything is going their way. While each of these are signs of peace, they are really not peace and it's not real. When you see, I see some big, big Bollywood stars, they're having such a big mansion, they go all the way to the Himalayas. They go there to do some meditation. They go meet some guru. They say, if I go there, I find peace. But when they come back, they are in pieces again here. So nothing will give you peace. Why? In John, what it says, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. Because only the peace can be given by our Lord Jesus Christ. But what it says here, one of sons of Korah states that he will listen to what God has to say. One thing that God has promised was peace to His people. His people are those who are faithful to Him. However, there is one requirement. They must not turn to folly. Believing Jesus brings about a peace the world cannot understand. Worldly point of view, people, what they feel, I have a lot of money, I got a flash car, I got a big house, and I got a good job, good paying job, I'm relaxed. They think that's the peace. But as a believer, in all our struggles, you go through a peace that passeth all understanding. That is what the Word of God says, the peace that passeth all understanding. Sometimes even in our struggle, in our pain, the Word of God is a peace to us. You whisper of the Lord in our ears, in our hearts. He gives a word that will give you in your pain, that thing. Many people are there who struggle with pain. My mother was going through cancer in the last stage of death. Her Psalm 34 was always, I will praise the Lord continually. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Even though she was in full pain, but she could have the joy which passeth all understanding. That is what happens to a believer. Even though in every pain you have, the Lord gives you a peace. He gives us peace, provides peace despite troubles, and that occurring in one's life, there is peace that overrides anything that is going in your life, both good, bad. Nothing can take that peace away. Although nothing can take that peace away, one can only give it away a person gives that peace away when he turns to folly. Folly is doing anything that has no purpose or meaning, anything that lacks any value. Living in any sin is the greatest folly a man can do. Sin has no purpose other than to separate a person from God and kill him. It is a waste of time and only brings about death. As the world turns to folly, sin, a believer is to turn away from all folly and listen to God. That is where a believer is, you know. The difference between a believer and unbelievers. An unbeliever, anything you do, that's not a problem. It's all okay. But for a believer, it's everything a conscience. The Holy Spirit guides us, conscience gives us, saying that that's not right in the sight of God. Always teaching us and instructing us. So that is what, and always the folly and not to, and to listen to God. When you turn away from sin and begin to listen to God, you will know what He desires of you. The Lord wants every person over here who is listening to God's word, He wants us to do something. You will learn of His great love for you. You will know the peace that He has for you. You will know the great love for you He has for you, and you will know the peace that He also has for you. God has promised you all these things, regardless of what the world says or does. Trust that He will give them to you as you turn from sin and folly. Focus your life on serving God and building His kingdom, and you will know the peace that the world can never ever know. I pray that you will know the salvation Jesus provides, that you will know the peace of God in your life, and that God will strengthen to turn from all our folly and sin, and that you will only be what He pleases God, when we do what pleases God. That is what God wants us to do, only to do what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to please Him. How to please Him? Not to be in sin, serve Him, what He would listen to God's word, read, pray, understand what the Lord wants us to do in our life. Always seek God in every aspect of our life, not only when we come on a Sunday to church. From Monday to Saturday, our duty is only we getting like for me, what I feel is Sunday is a place for charging. The rest is the time we are using all the charge what we have to do God's word. God's work, wherever we are, it might be our work, it might be among our friends, it might be our neighbors, wherever God makes an opportunity, you seek, you ask the Lord, He opens opportunity for you. So when you don't ask God, you only seek what you want to do, the opportunities won't come. So always when we look up to God, He gives opportunity. So take the opportunity when it comes and give God the glory in and through our lives. Can we sing a song? 642. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who trust and obey. Then we can never, but we can never prove, verse 4, the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Can we sing hymn number 642? Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time to trust You and to obey You. Because what You have planned for us to do in our lives, open our eyes that we may see a new heart and a new eyes to see what You want us to do, O Lord. Let us do whatever You ask us to do faithfully as You see us, O Lord. Let us see others through You. In whatever way we can, wherever we can, let us serve You faithfully, O Lord. Father, as we go back to our homes, take us safely. Till we meet again, let our guidance, Your guidance and Your grace be upon us. We thank You and ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.